I want to say, because we got right into the sermon today, what an honor it is for me to be with you today. Your reputation as a church is so well known, and I am very thankful for your service to the Lord and for what you've done in this congregation. Of course, as was mentioned in the introduction, I was blessed to follow W.T. Allison at Hamilton. He had been there for 18 years, and it was just a real challenging joy to be able to follow him. Well, we do need to move rather quickly today. We will not finish what we have to talk about, but we'll get as far as we'll get. Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. A lot of people misunderstand it. If you really want to understand the book of Revelation, the key to understanding it is the first verse. It's a revelation. It's a revealing, not a concealing, but a revealing from God. Second thing you need to know, it is written to the seven churches in Asia. My uncle used to say the way to remember that is real simple, ESPTSPL. And that's Ephesus, Smyrna, Philadelphia, or Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. ESPTSPL, and if you can get your S's and your P's straight, I probably got them reversed there, I think I did, but if you get your S's and P's straight, you'll remember those seven churches at Asia in the order that they're written to. It's a revelation written to seven churches of things which must shortly come to pass, written in signs. It says sin has signified it. It's written in signs, and then finally of things which must shortly come to pass. In the first three chapters, really chapter 2 and 3, there are letters written to each of these seven churches. What the Spirit says through the angel, through the messenger of Christ, some people say. I'm not sure exactly who it is that's writing, but there's some messages given to these churches. And what I learned from this letter is that congregations have personalities. Okay? Congregations have personalities. I've preached about five congregations in my life, and all of them have loved the Lord and been faithful to His Word, and that's been extremely important in every church I've been blessed to be a part of, every congregation I've been blessed to be a part of. But each congregation had very specific personality traits. I don't know if you've ever done this. Maybe you have. I had not until just a few months ago when I started thinking about this. When you look at these seven churches of Asia, I want you to notice a couple of things about them. And this is Bible class, so you can talk some if you want to. But first of all, the first one is Ephesus. Tell me, just anybody who wants to, what do you know about the church at Ephesus? What do you know about Ephesus? They did most everything right. They had quite a reputation. What else you know about Ephesus? You know this, and I'm going to tell you this, so then you will know that you know this. There is more written to the church of Ephesus than any other church in the New Testament, any other congregation in the New Testament. You've got John wrote a lot of his material from Ephesus. You've got John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. You've got the book of Ephesians, obviously. You've got a part of Acts occurs in Ephesus, the Temple of Diana. Remember that? And the episode there, you've got Acts chapter 20 where Paul leaves the elders. He's on the island of Miletus and leaves the elders from Ephesus, and he weeps many tears. You've got the book of Revelation, of course. You've got 1st and 2nd Timothy. Paul is believed that's associated with Ephesus. So more is written to the church of Ephesus than any other church. But now look at the description of the church of Ephesus. Beautiful description. I know your works, your labor, your patience. You can't bear those that are evil. You've tested those that say they're apostles and are not. Verse 3, you persevered and have patience and labored in my name's sake and have not become weary. This is a church that had a reputation of what? Of soundness, of solidness. There is no doubt these people won't tolerate false doctrine. But I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Now, I've been in church buildings before where the church had a wonderful reputation for being sound and solid, but you walked in and you could not feel a spirit of love at all. I would not have wanted to be a member of the church at Ephesus. Wouldn't want to be there. As sound and solid as they were, They didn't love the Lord anymore. I don't want to be a part of that. That's the personality of that church. Now, I don't want to just pick on Ephesus. So let's look at some of the other ones. Let's look at just the next one, Smyrna. I know your tribulation and poverty. What was the church like there? It was a bunch of blue-collar folks, a bunch of poor folks. These folks didn't have much, apparently, in tribulation. They're facing some tremendous persecution internally and from without. They're facing some tremendous persecution. But look at what he says about it. You're rich. Now, wouldn't it be a great church to be a part of? Everybody looks at them and says, they ain't got much. But the Lord looks at them and says, you folks are the rich folks in town. What a reputation these folks had. Be faithful unto death, he says, and I will give you a crown of life. And that is not a verse written to 80 and 90-year-old Christians, even though there may have been some 80 and 90-year-old Christians that applied to it. It was written to people who death meant to them, not I may die in a hospital bed somewhere, but I may die at the hand of the Roman government for my faith. Be faithful even to the point of death. Pergamos, I know your works. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You hold fast to my name. You don't deny my faith. Even in the days when Antipas, my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells, this place, they're solid, aren't they? But I have a few things against you. You have some who hold the doctrine of Balaam. As strong and solid as they were, they allowed some false teaching to go on. I wouldn't want to be a part of a congregation like that one. Different personalities. Church at Sardis. I love the, I love Thyatira. This is one of my favorites. Look at verse 19 of chapter 2. I know your works, love, service, and faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? I've been places where everything was about the past. Remember what we did then. Remember what happened at that time. Now, I love the past, and I love good memories, and it's fine to think about good things. But I want the future to be better. And he's saying, you had a great past, but your present is the best. I mean, you're still serving. You're doing a great thing. We could go on. We could look at all seven churches. But really what I wanted to say in that is that each congregation has personalities. Now, what I was asked to do in our Bible class time is to tell you a little bit about what we are doing at the Spring Meadows congregation. And I built that background in order to tell you the rest of what I'm going to tell you, and I hope that it is appropriate for our time together. And I don't like talking as much about this. In fact, every once in a while people look at us, and not long ago I was preaching somewhere, and they introduced me as a preacher for the fastest growing church in the Brotherhood. And I thought, that's kind of silly. It ends up, the preacher, when things are good, the preacher always ends up looking really, really good. And what I like to tell people is, it's not because of me that we're growing. If it was because of me, the other four churches I preached at before this one would have grown that way. So it's not because of me. I'm a part of it. The Lord's allowing me to be a part of it. But it's not me. It's elders. And it's not just the elders. Because if it's just the elders, the churches they've been at before would have grown the same way. It's a combination of what the Lord is allowing us to do. City of Spring Hill in 1985 had 1,400 people living in it. 1,486, if I'm correct. From 1985 to 1985, the announcement was made that the Saturn plant would be built there. Amazing things began to happen in that city. From 1985 to the year 2000, it grew from 1,400 people to 7,100 people. Pretty good growth in about a 15-year period. But that was just the start of it. From the year 2000 to the year 2008, the city grew from 7,000 people to 26,000 people. That's real growth in a city. And some people, I was not one of them, started saying, you know, the churches that are here are good churches, but they're the same size they were 50 years ago. And the city's grown, and the churches haven't grown exponentially, and something needs to happen to reach out to these people that are moving here. And so the Spring Meadows congregation, these men met with all the congregations in the area, talked to them about what we wanted to do, and the Spring Meadows congregation was formed. And as Eric mentioned earlier, the Lord's been awfully good to us, and things have been really neat to be a part of. I've enjoyed the work a great deal, and the future appears to even be greater than the past has been. We've been tremendously blessed. I got a note a few minutes ago. We had 552 present this morning, so I like to keep up what's going on back home. It's been fun, but the most fun thing has been to see what the Lord is doing in lives of people there, people who have been away from the Lord for years. And we've baptized an awful lot of folks the last 2 years, and we are baptizing, and I love baptizing young people and children, but we're baptizing more adults than we are kids. We're baptizing a lot of adults, people who have no connection with the Lord. About a month or two ago, I baptized a Wiccan. It's interesting. I never baptized a Wiccan before. A couple of weeks ago, I baptized a guy, and his grandmom was Jewish, his dad was Catholic, and his mom was Muslim. And he met the woman he married in a bar in Virginia, and he took a job in Spring Hill and moved to Spring Hill. And his neighbor two doors down invited him to come to church, and he came to church. And we invited him to study the Bible, and we studied the Bible with he and his wife, and they were both baptized into Christ. Just a few months. It's exciting to be a part of things like that, and the growth of the city has been a tremendous blessing to us. People always ask where the numbers come from, and I'll tell you real quickly, our numbers come from three sources. The biggest source is people that move in from out of town. We represent right around 26 or 27 different states in the Union. They're coming from all over every week. We have people that have moved to Spring Hill from a different area. That's the biggest source of growth. Somebody moves to town, and they're Christians, or they're not Christians, they're looking for a church, and they come and visit us. We had a family visit with us 2 months ago, 3 months ago now, that moved from Ohio, and they put churches in their GPS, and we're the closest one, and so they came. And, you know, that's the primary source. The secondary source is people who moved to Spring Hill in the last 20 years and didn't really fit with the congregations that were there. There weren't many young people and many children, and so they wanted to be with a stronger congregation with families, and so they worshiped with churches in Franklin and in Nashville, 20 to 30 minutes or 40 minutes away. And when the congregation at Spring Meadows was planted, they decided they'd be a part of what we're trying to do there. And the third source are people who are being restored and being baptized. I don't know the exact numbers on that, but that's kind of how it falls out. It's been really exciting. The demographics of the congregation are unusual. I mean, look around you. This is a pretty typical congregation demographically, age groups and everything, healthy, and that's wonderful and great. Ours is not as healthy. We'll have, as I said, about 500 every Sunday. Right at half of that crowd will be 18 years old or younger. So I don't know how that strikes you, but if you think about that, that's unbelievable, really. I mean, it's young families. There aren't many people there that are. There are only 20 men in the church, or right now I think it's 20 men in the church, that are older than I am. That presents some challenges to us. Age adds wisdom and stability and maturity and financial help. Those things are some things that come with age. Youth adds energy and invigoration, so we got a lot of energy but no money. So that's kind of our lot in life right now. So if you want to give us a lot of money for the church up there, feel free to see me afterward. We take checks in any denomination. No, I'm not asking for money at all. The Lord's been good to us, and He's taken care of us. When I moved to Spring Meadows, we started saying, all right, I started hearing. When the congregation started there, they met together for 6 weeks on Sunday nights and talked about what they wanted to do as a church. There were probably five or six families, and they started saying, what do we want this church to be like? And they started talking about personality traits. And so over the next several months, they worked out. When I moved there, I kept hearing about that and what they wanted to be and what they wanted to be. In my mind, that thinks a little weird in a lot of ways, but analytical, started saying, all right, let's put this in a portable form. So we came up with what we call the five O's of Spring Meadows. That has since grown to seven, and these are kind of personality traits. We are a congregation, our worship services, just like y'all's does on a Sunday morning only. Excuse me for saying this, but ours will be a little louder. I'm not proud of that, but we have more children. And so when you've got 28 kindergartners, it's a little louder, okay? And somebody says, you know, you ought to teach your children not to, you know, go to the restroom during services. You know, they ought to do that before. I heard that 30 years ago when I first started preaching, and I tried to teach it then. I teach it now. We have a whole lot more movement, good, bad, or otherwise. That's just the way it is. But other than that sort of thing, our services look a whole lot like y'all's does. We may sing a few more newer songs than y'all would sing. Again, that is more of a demographical thing. Nothing about, I love old hymns, I love new songs. I just love to sing praises to God, whether old or new. But other than that, it'd be very similar, just like, you know, we're not doing anything crazy or anything at Spring Meadows, just so to set your mind at ease on that. Now, but we have a personality. And so I started saying, all right, let's put this in a form people can take with them. So I have the seven O's. And what I'm going to do in the next 4 minutes is give you the seven O's, or many of what I can give you. Here's what we're trying to do and be. And I'm not going to, I'm just going to give them to you and say very short things about them. Number one is one book. One book. Congregations formed in the Word of God. If the Scriptures allow it, we'll do it. If the Scriptures prohibit it, we won't do it. The Scriptures rule. The elders do not rule the congregation. The elders do not lord over the congregation. The elders lead the congregation and serve the congregation, but the Word of God trumps the elders every single time. Now, what we like to say is elders rule in the realm of gray. They're areas where God has not spoken. And so when you come to the Spring Meadows congregation, one of the things the elders will ask you is, are you willing to serve under the authority of this eldership? That means sometimes you'll get your way when a matter comes up, and sometimes you won't get your way. Our goal is not to make the church up the road happy or the church down the road happy. Our goal is not to look liberal or progressive or be conservative or stagnant. Our goal is to try to be biblical and do what is best in matters of opinion for the Spring Meadows congregation. We seem to have forgotten an old word in our brotherhood, the word autonomy. Autonomy means that realm of what God has not spoken on, a congregation has a right to do what is best for that congregation. That's a brief idea of what autonomy is. And our elders are trying to be autonomous. Now, where that's taken us so far is nowhere bad that I've seen. It's taken us in good places. We have people that come to us and they say, y'all sure are very conservative. And we have people come to us and say, y'all sure are very progressive. And I want to say we're really not trying to be either of those things. We're trying to be biblical and trying to let the Bible rule. One book. If you're not willing to submit to the Word of God, you cannot be a member of this congregation. Number two, oneness. Oneness. We say it this way. We're trying to love each other. Now, we say it that way on purpose because every time I go in a church building and they say, the preacher says or an elder says or somebody says, oh, we all just love each other here. I immediately think, and what else are you going to lie to me about? Because I've never been in a church where everybody loved each other. What we like to say is we're trying to love each other. And because we're close, we'll have times where we'll hit snags. We'll have times where we'll have issues and problems we'll have to deal with. And sometimes they'll end up pitting us against each other and things. As much as I hate that, that is reality. So what do? Well, we try to work through problems. Something comes up, we don't sweep under the carpet. I mean, I can't stand the thought that, you know, a brother sits back over here and a sister up here and they don't speak to each other, but they both think they're going to go to heaven. We got to love each other. The Bible says we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We are to try to keep what the Spirit established when He made us one in Christ. He made us one. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity is already there. It's our obligation to keep it. So if you've got a problem with something I say, come and talk to me about it. I'll listen to you. Maybe I was wrong. It may be you were wrong. It may be you misunderstood what I said. It may be we'll see it differently. But we're still brothers and sisters. So we're trying to love each other. Oneness. It takes a lot of work. One of the things we do together as a congregation that a lot of congregations don't do is we eat together every Sunday night as a congregation. The idea and design behind that is to try to bind us closer together. And so on a Sunday morning, we'll have 500 or so present. On Sunday night, we'll have 350 or more present. That's not what it should be. I wish we'd have 500 on Sunday night as well. But almost every one of those 350 will stay for the meal afterward. And that's the time where we kind of get to bind ourselves closer together in unity, oneness. The third O is openness. Openness. You know, most churches, and I don't want to indict others and try to make us sound like any sort of model. Most churches don't keep secrets. And shouldn't. But I found most members feel like elders are keeping secrets from them. And I don't know why that is. There's a suspicion that has grown. It may have grown out of the 50s and pulled itself forward to this time. But for some reason or another, a lot of times people think, and so what we say is, we really don't keep secrets. There are two things we'll keep a secret from you. One is, if somebody comes and needs help financially, we're not going to get up and announce, you know, Brother Bill needs some money. We're not going to say that because you wouldn't want us to say that if we helped you with your power bill. So we'll keep that private. We'll tell how much we spend on benevolence, but we won't tell who it was given to. And the second thing we keep private is counseling situations. Now, we will ask you when you come to us for counseling, whether it's to me as a minister or to our counselor or to one of the elders or to the eldership, we will ask you, do you want this to be made public? Because I believe there's great strength, because I think everything that every individual in this church is dealing with, there are other people who have dealt with that problem in the past. If we learn to share that way, it'll make us more united and stronger and more empathetic toward others and their struggles, and remind us of our own struggles. It's 1 minute after 11. How'd that happen? So we're trying to be open. We don't keep secrets. And that's as far as I can go. Let's pray together and we'll dismiss. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness to us. Father, I pray that you'll bless us as we strive to be what you want us to be. Father, I ask that humbly that the things I've said will be accepted as not in any way boasting, but in gratitude for what you're helping, what you're causing to happen, and what you're allowing us to be a part of it, the church at Spring Meadows. Pray that you bless us and help us, Father, never lose our faith. Help us always to move forward in faith. Give us wisdom and help us to be better people for your work than we would if we were not your people. Father, I pray that you bless this congregation, this people. May they be strong and faithful and loving and true to you and growing and reaching out, growing spiritually and growing numerically, growing in every good way. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening.